Well, welcome to Table at Grace Online. We are so glad that you're part of worship today. And if you've not gotten the chance to check in, please do so. If you're on Facebook, we have members of our Belong team who are there, and they would love to welcome you. And I'm going to ask some questions in my sermon, and we would love for you to be part of the chat. If you would like to share your answers on there, we can join with you in community. And we're also going to have a time after my message in which we're going to share communion together. So I want to encourage you to grab those elements at home, whatever juice and bread that you have, and get those ready to go as we share in this time together. Even as we can't gather physically, we can gather virtually, and I know that God is a part of that. Well, next Sunday is my last Sunday, and so I have two sermons left with you, this one and the next one, and so next week I'm going to be sharing my favorite prayer in the scripture, and so I'll be sharing that as a blessing over us at Table of Grace, as well as some of my favorite memories over the last 4 years, and so I want to invite you to be part of that. And I also hear that there's a gathering in which we will be able to gather at the church, and you all will be able to drive by, and I'll be able to wave at you. I probably won't be able to give you a hug, but I at least would love to see you one more time, and so I invite you to come and be part of that. And I know that the worship teams already have some amazing worship planned and scheduled for that, and so very excited. I want to invite you to be part of that. But in these messages for these last 2 weeks, I really want to talk about our identity together as Table of Grace. And so today I want to begin this conversation in which I'm calling it, This is Table of Grace. This is who we are, and this is our mission here for this community. And this Sunday is also Peace with Justice Sunday. And so as we look at this conversation as to who we are in the community, and we look at this conversation as to what's going on in our culture all around us right now, I thought the best way for us to have both of these conversations, because really they're one and the same, is to look at a table story from the Gospel of Luke, a time in which Jesus gathered at a table with people that really were different from him, and in many ways were different from the people in their culture. But Jesus gathered with them around a table. And I think this conversation is more important than it's ever been before, because it demonstrates to us how we really love people who are different from us. Because tables are the place where people belong, believe, and become more like Jesus. And so as people of faith, we declare the table is open. And so I want to invite you to look at the scripture with me in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 27. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his home, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? But Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Have you ever had a time where you've shared an impromptu dinner with someone? I'd love to share an occasion in which you've shared an impromptu dinner with somebody you didn't really know before. Now, a number of years ago, my wife Brandy was in a car accident and she broke her collarbone. And a few weeks after we went to church, and of course she's bandaged up, she's in a sling, and so some people had gathered around, they wanted to know what was happening, and so we were telling the story of everything that was happening. Everyone was okay, except for that collarbone, and so as we were telling this story, I saw some guests that were there, some people who were brand new to the church. They were there, and they were listening to the story. I just kind of caught them out of the corner of my eye, and then later that evening, there was a knock at our apartment door, and I opened up the door, and it was these guests from church, and they had brought us dinner. And so as they came into our small little apartment, we didn't have a table. And so we gathered around our living room, and as I was eating my bowl of macaroni, and we were visiting and we were talking, I just remember thinking, like, who are these people? And I never had anyone, you know, show that kind of kindness and bring us dinner before, and that was incredibly thoughtful, but I was just sitting there thinking, you know, who are these people? Why would they do this? And so we visit with them, and they left, and Brittany and I even talked about it. We're like, that was wild. What was going on there? But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this was a compelling picture of love and kindness that they've shown to us, and we didn't even know who they are. And I really can't remember their names. I just remember that they were there and that they brought us dinner. And as I thought about this, I thought, this is what the church is supposed to be, what the church always was, and what the church should be to our culture and to the world, because this is how Jesus did it. And in fact, as we look at the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus, that as Luke writes a story, he tells the story of Jesus, and Jesus is either eating a meal, or he's just left the meal, or he's at a table with a meal, or Jesus is telling stories about people who are eating meals. It's almost as if Jesus is just, well, really kind of obsessed with eating. That's all he really does. And by my count, there are 11 different stories or parables or stories that Jesus tells that feature a meal in the Gospel of Luke. It has some to comment that Jesus seems to just eat and drink his way through the Gospel of Luke. And in fact, others in Jesus' time observed this, and they had this comment, and Jesus is speaking out to those who are criticizing him. And in Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, Jesus is saying this. He says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say that he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Of course, Jesus was referring to those who were criticizing and complaining about them and the type of people he was keeping company with. This is what Jesus seemed to do all the time, because Jesus knew this, that when you sit and you eat with another person, it is a sign that you accept them, that you welcome them. And that's what I see in this story in Luke chapter 5, because this is the first table story that's featured in Luke. And in this story, Jesus has just forgiven and healed a paralyzed man that some friends had lowered from the roof of their house. And Jesus forgives him, and those around him are saying, "How can you possibly do that?" And so Jesus says, you know, to demonstrate that God has the power to do all of these things, then I'll heal you too. Get up and take your mat and walk. And the people were amazed. And so in this next story, it says after this, as we pick up the story, after this occurred, then Jesus is really pressing the boundaries to show us who it is that belongs in the kingdom of God. That not only has Jesus come to forgive sins and to heal our brokenness physically, but Jesus has come to do this for us spiritually and show us that the table is open. And so this begins in verse 27, that after this whole occasion, Jesus is walking and he walks by a tax booth. And he sees this tax collector named Levi, and he tells him, "Follow me," and Levi gets up and follows him. Now, I know what you're thinking, that tax collectors are just as popular in Jesus' day as they are in our day. And in fact, tax collectors, it's really, well, there's not much we can really say about them. They were not popular at all, is quite an understatement, because really tax collectors were known as extortionists. They were sellouts. They partnered with the Roman Empire to tax their own people, and they became rich off this. Well, frankly, people hated tax collectors. And so Jesus is showing that not only will he forgive and he will heal, but he's going to call the people that everyone despises to come and to follow him, to be a disciple, to be a learner, to be one that he teaches about the kingdom of God, and then would then go and teach other people. That's what this "follow me" is all about. And people would get this, that Jesus would call a tax collector, and Jesus says, "That's exactly who I call our tax collectors." He says, "Come and follow me." But then it says that Levi got up. And in the Greek, this word that's translated "got up" is the same word that we could translate "arise" or "to be raised from the dead." And most often this is what it's translated as, because this is resurrection language. That Levi is being raised from the dead of his life, that he has come into new life. And then in responding into this invitation, that Levi is transformed as he follows Jesus. That's what this story is. He's transformed in this invitation and by following Jesus, and he leaves everything. He leaves his life as a tax collector behind. But then Levi does, in verse 29, what Levi knows to do, which is he throws a party for Jesus. And did you catch the guest list? This says there's a crowd of tax collectors and sinners that come to eat with Jesus. That's who's on the guest list because those are the people that Levi are friends with, or other tax collectors and sinners. They're this group of people that would only hang out with each other. And so Levi throws a party for Jesus, and he invites all of them. And it says a whole crowd of them come to this party, to this banquet, to this dinner party, to come and be with Jesus. So I want to ask you, what do you think it would be like to be at a party with Jesus? What would you talk about? What would you talk about? See, when I think about this, that there was a whole crowd there, that people wanted to be around Jesus. They loved being with Jesus. And that Jesus loved to be around them, that he accepted them. And, you know, oftentimes we can have this picture of Jesus that maybe he's just given the Beatitudes all the time. There's just wisdom literature. It's kind of all solemn and frowns. I think Jesus was fun to be around. That they laughed, they would share stories. And I think these tax collectors and sinners, that they were sharing their story with Jesus. And I believe that Jesus listened to them. You know, I think what they were talking about is they were talking about their stories. They were talking about who they are. And Jesus was listening to them, and they felt heard. And that's why there was a whole crowd around them. That's why they loved being around Jesus, because no one else treated them this way. Jesus accepted them. But of course, the story tells us that they weren't the only ones at the party. That there were people who were watching from afar, who were gathered around, and they were watching this, because a dinner party in Jesus' time would have been outside on a courtyard. Then Levi's home, that he was a rich tax collector, and so he probably had a large home, but his place of dining and these places where he would have thrown these parties would have been outside in a courtyard. And so people would come and they would want to see who's on the guest list and who's the person of honor at this party. And so they're watching this party and they're seeing Jesus eating and drinking and being with these people. He can see them laughing and sharing their stories. And they begin to complain. And I love this Greek word, ganguzo, that they were gonging at these. They were just complaining. They couldn't stand it. And so they say to the disciples, they say, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" They want to know, why are you doing this? But then Jesus answered them. And this is a mic drop moment for Jesus. Jesus answered them. The disciples don't get a chance because Jesus wants to get this word in to those who are complaining and watching this. And this is what he says, and I want you to hear this again. Jesus says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See, what Jesus was inviting these Pharisees and these teachers of the law who are complaining is to say, who are you in this story? You know, as you look at this scene all around you, who are you? You know, as you think about your relationship with God, are you healthy? Do you have no need of God? Are you sick? Are you in need of healing? Are you in need of the great physician? Because Jesus says, if you are in need, then you have to admit, you know, God, I'm broken. God, I fall short. God, I'm not who you've called me to be. God, I've made some mistakes. God, I may be making a mistake right now as I judge these people. I'm in need of the great physician. Jesus is inviting them into the story. And as we read it today, Jesus is inviting us into the story. Who are you in this story? Are you healthy? Are you spiritually? Are you sick? And in need of healing? And in need of the great physician? Because what Jesus is inviting us into is this. He's saying to us, be open to people you normally would not have been open to, because God was open to you. Be open to people you wouldn't normally have been open to, because God was open to you. And by that, Jesus is taking down all the barriers that we could put up. Jesus is taking all of those down and he's saying, this is a place of belonging. Because when you have a place of belonging and people feel like they belong, then they have a chance to believe. They have a chance to become. You see, even as Levi is following Jesus and even as he gets up and he's experiencing a type of resurrection that his very soul is coming alive and he's experiencing transformation, he follows Jesus over 3 years. And then as we celebrated last week in this book of Acts, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes and then they take the message and they spread it around that all of this is becoming more like Jesus. And this is a process, this is a journey that all began when he says, I will follow you, when he got up. And Jesus is saying, take down all these barriers. Be open to people you wouldn't normally be open to, because God was open to you and invites you to follow him. And Jesus did all of this around a table, because the table is the place in which the kingdom of God is realized and enacted on this earth. As we gather around the table, we're doing the very thing that Jesus did. And we're seeing the kingdom of God come alive as we eat with other people. That's why Jesus invited them to the table. Because he says, you are welcome here. The table is open. I want to hear your story. I want to listen. I want to be with you. And over the past 3 months, we've become well aware that our bodies are broken. And we're in need of healing. We're in need of the great physician. We see just how fragile our lives are. How fragile our culture and society can be. As we've shut down, as we've locked down. And we need God more than ever before. But over the past week and the past 10 days, we see how much our souls are broken now. That we see that even in this pandemic of COVID-19, that we have this pandemic of racism all around us. That this is a condition of the heart, it's a condition of the soul, that we are in need of healing in this country. That we're in need of healing in our very own hearts. That we are still in need of the great physician. And for us, the question is are we healthy, or are we willing to say, I'm broken and I'm sick and I need your healing, God, so that I see all people the way that you see them, so that people can really see you through me as you invite people to belong, believe, and become more like you. Jesus, I need more of that in my life. And if you're like me, you've just been overcome by all the images, the demonstrations, the stories that you've heard. In many ways, I would confess that these were not always the reality. These were not always the things that were front of mind for me. These were not always the things that I readily paid attention to. But now more than ever, I see that, God, I am in need of your healing. That this is not a new struggle, but this is a struggle that's part of the daily lives for people all around us. And I need to see that, and I need to listen, because God sees that. And God is listening. And the question becomes for you and for me is, what can I do? It's a question I've asked myself, and perhaps you've asked yourself, what can we do? I believe this is what we can do, is we need to open our tables. Now, 4 years ago, my very first Sunday here at Table of Grace was the Sunday after the shooting of 4 police officers here in Dallas. That's how I begin my time here at Table of Grace. And in the midst of that, then a pastor named Reverend Richie Butler, who's the pastor of St. Paul United Methodist Church in downtown Dallas, that in response to those shootings started a program called We Dine Together, in which he would get people who have different stories, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, and he would gather them together, and they would have conversations around a meal. They would eat together. They would share their stories. They would listen to each other. And we took these same practices and we practiced them as United Methodist clergy as a way for us to really learn how to see and to have conversations with other people. And we still need tables like that in our lives. Because tables really are a posture of belonging of accepting, of welcoming, of listening, and speaking. And so while in this season where or maybe we can't really gather around physical tables with other people, it's still a posture of our heart and who we are. And this is the very thing that Jesus did as you encountered other people. And those times in which he wasn't at a table with someone else, he still practiced that as he met them along the road. As he would listen to them and they would stop, as they would reach out and touch him, and he would stop and he would look them in the eye. And he would give them dignity. And he would hear their story. It was a posture of the heart. It's that same posture that we should have. No matter the color of your skin, no matter the past that you have, no matter your sexual orientation, no matter the mistakes you have made, no matter where you feel like you belong or you don't, this is our mission as a church, to create a place in which all people are welcome at the table, where they can belong, believe, and become more like Jesus, and trust in God through the Holy Spirit to change all of our hearts by God's grace. That's what we're called to do. The table is open. So what tables do you have in your life right now? Maybe for some of you, this table, this posture that you have, maybe it's to actually go and to talk to your neighbor from a 6 feet distance, but to go to actually say, hey, I'm your neighbor. I know I've lived here a while, and this is kind of awkward, but I want to say hi now. It's time that you knew who I am, and I want to know who you are. Maybe your table is to go online and to post on Facebook to make your voice heard. Maybe your table is to go to a peaceful protest and to participate in that and to join with those who are making their voices heard. Maybe your table is to actually gather around a table with other people, a physical table, and say, this is our time. Whatever your table might look like, what tables do you have in your life? Maybe your table is to gather and to pray. Maybe your table is to gather as a family and have conversations you've never had before. Maybe your table is to share worship and invite other people to worship with you. Whatever your table is, say, God, I'm ready. And I'm going to open up my table because, Jesus, you were open to me. And so I want to be open to people that I normally would not be open to. Because God, you are open to me. That's how Jesus changed the world. And Jesus is still inviting people to that table. And now Jesus is inviting people to the table through us. It's our turn to open up the table. So let's open the table. The table is open. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you today that as we gather together on whatever screen we've gathered around, whether we're gathering alone, we're gathering with family, or a small group of friends, God, I thank you. May our hearts, our minds, our very souls be open to you, Holy Spirit. And may our homes, may our cars, may the park be a sacred space today, knowing that you are dwelling there as we worship you. And so, God, today, may we declare that the table is open. That, Lord, as you have invited us to the table and said to us, follow me, and invited us to the table, to where we have received your grace and we continue to grow in your grace, may we be open to inviting others who we were not normally open to inviting them. And to see, Lord, your grace, the image of you in another person. May we hear their stories. May we hear their humanity, how much you love them in their story. And may we say, come and follow me as I follow Jesus. And Lord, in those moments when we don't get it right, Lord, we thank you for your grace. In these moments where we say the wrong thing or we say nothing at all, thank you for your grace. Because Lord, today, we want to say that we are broken. We are in need of you, and none of that has changed. So God, we thank you that you are the great physician who meets us right where we are. So God, thank you for your grace. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.